And we're back. You're listening to Paranorthwest, a podcast about all things paranormal here in the Pacific Northwest and beyond. I am your host, Eric.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Cheyenne.
Tonight, we're talking about cold. What is it? What belongs within it? Why do we feel so desolate, so alone, so in danger when we are out in the cold?
Alone.
And so attracted to Edward Cullen.
Yeah.
Eric.
Yeah. See, something. Eddie boy's cold. He got cold fingers. That's a cool sensation.
Pale,
you know?
White and ice cold.
Yeah. Imagine him, you know, using his fingers on you.
Okay.
To brush the hair out of your face?
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Sure.
That's what I was talking. What are you talking about?
It's a different sensation, you know?
Yeah. And it's cool because since I love Edward from Twilight so much, my wife, Shayla, her feet are usually frozen solid. Mm-hmm. And her hands. And
you love that.
Sometimes she'll preface it with, "Feel how cold my hands are." And then an icy chill runs down my back. And I hate where I'm at in that moment.
Well, you guys, we are not talking about vampires tonight.
No, something else.
We are talking about cryptids in the cold, in the winter, chilly. Ooh, it feels like
snow.
Oh, what?
Well, snow's cold and these creatures are also cold. They like the snow.
Yeah.
Snowflakes.
Okay.
Winter.
We are talking about all, well, not all. We picked our top four creepy coldies, okay?
Nice.
Solid gold coldies. All right, that's what we're calling this this happenstance tonight. So we're going to take you around the world, all right, people? For all of my friends who have not traveled this great and wonderful earth that we live on, we're going to take you to a couple different corners tonight and let you know what they're afraid of when it's cold outside.
Yes.
Baby, it's cold outside. There's knives in my neck. Baby, it's cold outside. I'm being eaten alive. Baby, it's cold outside.
You don't have to fret.
Hey, baby, it's cold outside. Cheyenne.
And you don't have to hide.
Baby, it's cold outside. Let's get into it. Cheyenne, read us our first one. We found this really obscure website on the dark web. So you guys probably won't find it. It was right below, like, if you wanted to order a beheading. This was right underneath that, so.
We found it on the Silk Road, like, 2.0, the one that's, like, deep down, you know, if you know a few things, but.
Really deep. First cold boy on the list. From the Orkney Islands, which, if you don't know, it's around Scotland. So this is Scottish lore, is the Nuck Levy, or as the Scottish would say, the Nuck Levy. It's a winter monster from the Orkney Islands, a creature that will surely send a chill up your ass. Said to be a type of demon, it's trapped in the sea for most of the year by Mither of the Sea, which is a powerful female sea spirit. But it comes out during the winter, okay? So once it gets real nice and cold, old homeboy comes up to terrorize you.
Homegirl. Homegirl.
Well, no, the girl is the spirit that holds it underneath, that traps it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, I can tell. So the beast looks like a horse, but it has like a man's torso and head coming up through the middle of its back, and there's no skin on this creature at all. So when you look at it, all you can see is like the muscles, like in the muscle tissue, and it has like white sinew holding everything together. And upon this creature's back, where the man part is, you know, the part that looks like a man, the head is like three times too big for a normal man, and the arms are so long that they drag on the ground when this thing runs. So if that's not terrifying enough, you can also see the blood pumping through its yellow veins when it's running towards you. And also, it has one eye, bloodshot red.
What does this thing do?
It nucks and it bucks. What do you think it does? It says that traditionally, its name was hardly ever spoken, kind of like Voldemort. Like you wouldn't, and kind of like the Big Dub. Like that's how revered this thing was in their culture.
Okay.
So obviously pretty, pretty strong. And if you were to say its name, you would have to say it in a hushed tone and you'd have to pray immediately afterwards. Like kind of to cleanse the air of its name.
It don't look good.
Yeah. And if you see it, it'll run after you. And the only way to get away from it is to cross a running body of fresh water. As a creature of the sea and of sickness, it cannot stand fresh water. So it's too cleansing.
That's kind of tight, though, that you got, like, something, you know, that you can use.
Yeah. See, and they got it right. I wonder if you had, like, fresh water on you.
Yeah, throw that shit.
Yeah, would it, like, burn it or something?
Yeah.
It's almost doing, like a holy water thing.
Yes, we're living.
So it's said that this thing was to kind of convey, like, plague and famine. So, like, the sickness of it, like, they would say that when this creature would make itself known is usually when crops would start to die. So they would blame it on the Nuklave. You know what I mean? Or if, a plague was going around, they would believe that this thing was close to them. Because it's, like, it's basically pure sickness.
The COVID-19, that's where it came from.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Watch your potatoes.
It's like a fucking conspiracy.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting way to think about it, because during the wintertime, everything kind of starts to, you know, die, you know?
And a lot of sicknesses do go around.
And yeah, that's, I mean, it's not even just over there, but everywhere. Sickness, yeah. You know?
But I mean, just the, what do you guys think of this thing? Where do you think it like came from? And what do you think it's still around or what?
Okay. So I want to know, first off, before I come to a conclusion here, the spirit that's in the water, where does she go when he's terrorizing the town?
She's still there. That's her whole job, is to be the Mither o' the Sea. So, mm-hmm. Like, she, in Scottish folklore, and for all my Scots listening, if I start butchering shit, just send me an email and say, shut the fuck up. But, like, she is, like, the sea spirit. So anything that has to do with the sea, she is in charge. It's like Poseidon, right? Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, like, she keeps it at bay for most of the year, but during the winter, he's allowed to come out.
That's interesting.
So, it also is said to know that the horse's mouth has a very toxic vapor smell to it.
Oh.
So, it makes me wonder what this creature sounds like.
Oh,
if
God.
If it makes any sounds, you know?
All right, if you had to come up with a sound that it was going to make, what would it be like?
Like a, you know what I mean? Like, a, you know?
Oh, shit. That's way scarier than I
you
thought
you were
going to do.
You know what I mean? That, like a.
Okay, that's terrifying.
That's okay.
She scared the dog.
So, okay. I'm thinking, because you said it's wrapped in the sinew.
Yeah.
Someone's done did that.
Like someone stripped and made this thing themselves?
Something. There's a lot of conjuring going on.
So you think, like,
Someone.
A warlock or something made it?
Something's going on over there.
Oof.
Okay.
But why? Why would they make it? It's got to be out of, like, hatred for someone.
Yeah, thin the herd, you know what I'm saying?
Kind of like what we were talking about last week, you know? If you create, like, creating something to get rid of something and then...
Yeah.
Sticks around and keeps fucking everything up.
Yeah.
Could you imagine this thing chasing you, though?
I'd be hopping over all the cricks.
Dude, right? I wonder how big it has to be. But it just said running fresh water.
Yeah. You're humping over the cricks. You're running, you're gunning.
You're humping cricks, you're slapping dicks.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So where do you think it came from, Eric?
I think this is one of those things that was always there. That's like my favorite way to think, and I know it's bad to have like basically a favorite avenue of thought when it comes to paranormal stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's the scariest. I don't think conjuring something and it being made is as scary as it always being there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's understandable.
So I think this thing has always been there and kind of serves a purpose. Like Shayla said, you know, thinning the herd. If there's too many people, set a plague off.
Yeah. See, and I think it totally different. So the spirit of the sea, I think maybe the spirit of the sea and the true spirit of the Nuklavi maybe had some sort of romantic relationship that went sour.
Oh, shit.
And so she trapped him in the water for most of the year, only letting him out. You know what I mean?
That's like you and Solomon.
That's not like that.
You trap him in the apartment for most of the year.
He traps me in. God.
She lets him leave to go get moose meat.
Yeah, we have that at our house now. But I just, don't you think that makes sense from like, personally, it makes sense for me just because of where it's at and like the kind of the backstory that we just kind of brought up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah,
all opinions, so none of them can be wrong.
They are not wrong, yeah.
But I like that. And I like that everyone had different ones, you know?
Yeah, that was good.
Okay, so thanks to the Scots for that terrifying message of looking out for shit. But everyone, keep some fresh water on you, okay?
Okay, guys. They claim this one's a myth.
Where's this one hail from?
Japan.
Ooh.
We all know. Stuff is coming out of Japan. Horror movies, okay?
Yeah, dude.
It ain't it.
I've never seen a Japanese horror movie and been like, how boring.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, that is fucked.
The Grudge? Come on. Nightmares, yeah. 2 weeks minimum. Yeah, not
like
not
that.
It. This one's called the Yukiana. It translates a snow woman.
Ooh.
And it is said to be a spirit of a beautiful woman who perished in the snow. She's always, almost always associated with winter. So her method of killing varies legend to legend.
Oh, okay. She's making moves.
Yeah, some say that she leads travelers astray, leaving them to die in the cold.
Jesus.
Others say she'll cause snowstorms to freeze travelers half to death. And others say she appears with a child in her arms, known as Yukinko.
You can go.
Okay. This child often wears... I'm not going to say that word. I do not know what
Yukimino.
That... Okay, thank you. It's a straw snow cloak, traditional in Japan. And she will freeze anyone who tries to take this cloaked thing from her. She will invade people's homes, blowing the door open, freezing them while they're sleeping in their bed.
Jesus.
That is sickening. And other times, she only kills men who successfully seduce her with freezing kisses. Oh, shit. The reason for her killing is not known. Some say it's that she likes to drink the blood force, the life force.
Jesus.
Yeah, of her victims, but either way, she's a snow woman through and through, so.
Yeah, she's ice cold, baby.
Yeah, she shows no mercy, and she's known to spare people. So, that's that. What do you guys think?
That's crazy that she'll just go into your house and basically...
just fuck you up. She's like, you sleeping, motherfucker? Yeah, because usually most of these things are like, oh, don't go out at night.
Right.
You know, don't go to this area. They're like, hey, don't be at home either because she might fuck you up for that.
Yeah.
This one has some, and most Japanese lore has some vengeance behind it. You know what I mean?
I like that, yeah.
Like, they're coming for your ass. They're not just dicking around being like, oh, you know, I live here. This is whatever. And the fact that she just, like, embodies the harshness of winter itself, like the way she kills people is, I mean, she can do all kinds of things.
Yeah,
start a snowstorm, kill you.
She's Mother Winter.
Yeah.
Okay. Cheyenne made a great point though, because a lot of these stories that you hear of these creatures, they don't come into your house.
I know.
So,
like, that's that right there is like singles it out. as being more terrifying than others. It just blows your fucking door open and it's like, hey, I'm gonna kill your ass now.
I wonder if there's some sort of herbs or anything, you know what I mean? Or even an offering that you can leave out for, you know what I mean? And I'm sure they do have something like that.
On this website, it said there was no known way to stop her. So.
I know, but I'm just, they have to have something, you know?
Maybe they don't. Then that's why she's so terrifying.
It sounds like she just, you know, she's down for the venge.
And she's seducing dudes and being like, hey, come give me a kiss. Psych, you're dead now. I know you would love that, Cheyenne.
I do love that.
To have that power.
And I would love that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's also said that when she kisses them on the nose, she'll slap the peen.
With what?
Her hand on the counter.
Her hand on the counter? She'll slap the peen on the counter?
No, she picks up the peen, soft, slaps it on the counter. You know that sound?
It becomes hard?
No, it never becomes hard.
Ever again?
No.
That sucks.
That's the vengeance.
Jesus.
Stays with you for life.
So, what are we thinking about her origins? So, do you believe, like, she was trapped out in the snowstorm? But the thing is, it's like, where's the vengeance coming from?
Yeah,
it's not like someone left her out there. I think someone must have left her. A man.
Left. Yeah, man.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Brought her out, maybe wanted to get rid of her, left her out in the snow, and she's like, I'm coming for that ass.
Oh, yeah. She's here to wreak havoc. That's it, simply.
But, and that has to come from vengeance, from anger somewhere. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not just like, oh, I got lost in the snowstorm. Now I'm going to fuck everyone up because of it. It's all your problem now.
Because why does she spare people?
Yeah. Who gets spared and why?
Yeah. Who's getting spared? Oh, she's going to look it up.
Okay, we got our main researcher looking things up right now.
She's searching live.
So from what my researching is telling me is that maybe you have to be some sort of like a holy person, like a monk. You know what I mean?
Okay.
In one story, it stated that she had came into his house, a monk's house, and they just like looked at each other, and then she went out the door.
Oh, she knew. She could tell.
Wearing more of like a translucent white gown, as well as her hair was like very, very white. You know, just like the embodiment of just like a snow. You know.
Yeah, yeah, of coal itself.
But she just disappeared right out of his house and everything was fine. So he did survive that.
So it must be something to do with like his holiness or something like that, you know?
Maybe, yeah, like his pureness, you know?
And she knew that he wasn't evil.
Right, yeah.
It's got to be something like that. Like she can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just spitballing here. But with that story, it leads me to believe like she's only busting into shitheads' houses, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're a good person and it's obvious, then you're fine. But all you shitheads out there, beware, okay? Because she's coming for your ass too.
Yes, she is.
So we all think it's a revenge thing?
Yeah, something's going on with that.
Born out of revenge, born out of hatred, something like that.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on the same page with that one.
What do you think her energy is like?
Cold?
When you first...
What do you mean?
Encounter her. You know what I mean?
Oh, terrifying.
Okay, so when she's coming through your door, are you physically seeing her as a person?
I think so. Being? I think there's a reason why they've given her like a sex, a gender, and like a, you know, they're describing what she looks like. I think so. Why do you think she's like just straight energy? Like just cold ass energy or something?
Well, no, I was just curious, like, you know, it could be one of those things where like, well, yeah, people, you know, see ghosts from time to time, but they don't see them all the time.
Oh, okay. So you think people are mostly encountering her energy?
No, I'm not saying that. I was just asking a question.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know. I would assume if your door flies open, you know, there's probably, she's going to be standing there.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
But like, I mean, what if You saying that, I mean, how many times have you been in your house or stories over the years where people's doors have flown open and the wind blows in really hard and, you know, it's freezing cold out? Is that her? Is she checking up on you to see if you are a fuckhead?
It possibly could be. You know what I mean?
And that's what I'm thinking. Once you said that, that's what I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting to think of.
And maybe that's why the old people keep those rolled up towels in front of their door on the bottom so she can't seep under the door.
Because they know too much.
Yeah. Bring See? In the cold.
Lock your doors, roll up some towels.
Yes.
Okay.
Prepare.
Because she's coming for you.
For the bitterness.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy. Pretty strange.
Okay, now we're moving. We went to Scotland. We went to Japan. Where are we going now, Shai?
You already know where we are. You already know that we are back on indigenous land.
Ooh.
So, this spirit here is called the Chinu, which I don't even know if I should even be saying that right now aloud.
We might bleep it out later.
Because it's just like the Wendy, if you guys know what I'm talking about, the big dub. So it does have similarities to the Algonquin big dub. It comes from the Wabanaki tribes of the Northeast U.S. And it was once a human being. So it does have that, you know what I mean?
It's given dub, yeah.
And it was a human being that was committed to being a cannibal and refused to feed the starving. This caused humans' heart to freeze and turn to pure ice, taking the shape of a small human figure. So after that happens, then the person changes to a Chinu.
So that's what you do?
Yeah.
So if you eat someone else, or if you let your people starve? So you've basically lost all humanity within yourself anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you become the Chinu.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
They're also known to be giants compared to humans. Like, they're both man and beast. So how do you tall, like, do you think they are?
15 feet, you think?
15, easy.
Holy hell.
Easy.
I was thinking, like, 8 or 9.
Oh, no. These things are massive.
Jesus.
I've heard reports of this.
Where?
The Algonquins that I got. Up there, not looking too good for them in the wintertime.
Oh God, I hate it.
So as it stands, apparently 15 feet, it's a haggard, old, naked man. And it has wolfish eyes, so those Ooh, kinds of like...
Predator eyes.
Predator eyes, absolutely. And also might have chunks of flesh missing where it's eaten its own flesh.
Oh my God, can't get enough.
It's even resorted to eating itself.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's very scary.
That was a scared laugh if you've never heard one before. Okay. Yeah.
And it often covers its flesh in pine resin and rolls in the leaves as well as branches to basically make a camouflage for itself. Smart. You know what I mean? Especially when you're traveling within the forest.
That's fucking terrifying.
That's smart. That's...
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's ways right there.
So, tell us where these things live.
Okay. So, these cannibalistic creatures, they live in far icy north. They live in the far icy north, okay? And they venture down to people of the forest when they're hungry in order to devour them. So, when they're hungry, they're basically ready. But when they're chillaxing,
oh,
they're living in the icy north.
That's just anywhere... North, or is that just in the Northeast?
I'm going to take that as just being more in the Northeast.
Yeah, but like...
For me.
But like North.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, their human figure-shaped heart is a key to turning a man into a Chinu, and a Chinu turning back into a man. So you can turn him back?
Shut up.
No, I'm not joking you. Yep. Yeah, you can just kill it.
No, yeah, I'm not turning you back, dude, because that cocksucker will probably turn himself back.
Yeah.
He already made the decision
once.
He ain't
going to be the same.
Yeah,
okay?
That's what I'm saying.
Practical magic, we've all seen it,
yeah,
okay?
it doesn't come back right.
Exactly. And there's a special medicine known to the tribes, of course, and it causes them to vomit up the heart and the hearts of those that they have devoured and
Good
ate.
God.
And then that makes them a man. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, this thing is wild. Okay, so what stuck out to you, Shay, about the story? Like, what's something that kind of got you on this one?
Well, something that we hadn't talked about is a little odd. Okay.
What?
So, generally, they can't save the man, right? Okay. They have to kill the beast, and the best way is to chop it up into these pieces, right? But if you want something easier and less graphic to have to go through, apparently you just add salt. You just put salt on it, and the salt will melt that ice heart.
Oh, shit.
The icy heart.
So do you have to get to the heart, so you have to, like, pull the heart out and put salt on it? Or do you just put salt on their skin?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't decipher that.
I'm thinking you probably have to cut open the chest cavity and put the salt right on the heart.
See, and I'm thinking ingesting it. You know what I mean? Having this
just
creature
get it inside.
Ingesting. Yeah. Like, just fully in their body, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the scariest parts of this, to me, personally, is the camouflage part. Because camouflaging is more of a prey thing to do, you know? Something that doesn't want to be seen because it doesn't want to be hunted or captured or killed or eaten. But for a predator to camouflage itself, that's terrifying. Like, you're especially when you're walking through, like, the dense woods, like, your eyes aren't able to pick up things like this.
You're not going to be necessarily probably looking for something like that.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, when you're just walking through the woods, if you see sticks and leaves, like, in a certain way, it's not going to really trigger your mind to be like, oh, fuck, that might be a chino.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the movie Prey.
Yeah.
Like, that guy camouflaged.
Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's what I'm saying. But
that's interesting.
So this thing is smart, you know, and it knows how to remain hidden until it's too late.
Yeah. It's the eating itself for me. That's
Is that what got you?
Like, dude, that's sick.
To be just chunking your own arms?
Guess when you're hungry, you're hungry. But it's something I haven't resorted to just yet.
Okay, but you know what's interesting? It didn't say anything about shape-shifting.
Yeah, no.
Just the camouflage.
It just said that it turns into a chinu, which basically it changes form once.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes a giant, haggard old
man-looking
thing that wears camouflage and has chunks missing. But there's no, like, oh, and it can also change into this and that. So
yeah,
it's, like, same no matter what.
It's a different kind of indie.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's always a man. So.
See?
And that's the scariest part. And this legend started to come up when there wasn't a lot of food around. And people weren't sharing their food because it was known that they might kill people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Out of desperation, leading them to cannibalism, turning them into a chinu.
So that got to be, like, the origin of it is, like, you know, there was a scarce amount of food and people were starting to think, you know, hey, maybe we can just eat each other. And then someone got so desperate that they actually did it and they all saw what happened to that guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're like, fuck, we all knew something was going to happen, but no one knew what it was. I wonder if the person did it on their own accord or if people had suspicions of what would happen to you if you ate human flesh and they made someone do it.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's kind of the feeling I'm getting from this, is like the first one didn't want to do it. And they're like, well, we're running out of options, so we got to see if it's fine for us to eat each other, basically. So we're going to make, you know, that guy, he's going to eat human flesh. And then they all watched him transform and they're like, fuck, what just happened?
Yeah. And
because it's like a desperation thing.
I mean, yeah, you can't necessarily do anything more, you know, especially when it's wintertime. There's not necessarily crops.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also a big warning to indigenous people because basically sharing food, like it was a warning to share food, which is a really big part for us, especially when you're in a big Native family. You know, we're always known to share food or make sure everyone's eating, even when you just come over for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I just came over to Shayla's house and I already went through her.
Basically, same with Mexicans. You know, anyone that's come over to our house can attest that as soon as you walk through my door, I'm like, hey, are you hungry? You want me to make you some food?
Yeah. Well, Grandma always used to say, because every time you walk in the door, she offered food.
Yeah.
And if you didn't take it.
Disrespectful.
Very disrespectful.
Yeah, because it's
you
like.
Always take
like
food.
What Cheyenne was saying, it comes from a time when they didn't have food. Yeah. So they gave it to you.
Yep.
And that right there is, I mean, they're saving you. Mm-hmm. They're saving your life. So. These cultures, like these cultural things, spread and remain intact today through, you know, whether you're, you know, Native Americans from the North or the South, mm-hmm. you know, like Mexicans, we are the same exact way. We're like, yeah. you come over to my house, I'm going to feed you. Like this, I'm taking care of you. I want to share with you. And also Mexican food is bomb. So if you don't want that, you got a problem. So let it be a lesson to everyone out there. Share your food and eat the enchiladas that are given to you, okay? Because first of all, it's going to warm your soul and your heart. And through the winter, you need to keep warm.
Nice and warm.
Now, time for everyone's favorite section, the shout-out section. Is it going to be you tonight? We don't know. You're going to have to find out.
Shout-out? Possibly you. Let us know. Let us know.
That was a weird way to...
Sorry.
That was a weird sentence structure there.
If that's on a movie.
Okay, guys. Our good friend, Merle.
Yeah.
Okay. Merle. He's the bee's knees, this guy.
Our boy Merle.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff in the works with him right now. I hate to be this guy, but like...
Yeah, we can't really say much.
Special announcement soon, you know.
We can't say exactly what's going to be going on, but it's going to be hot.
Yeah, so our shout out of the week is the Paranormal Road Trippers. If you guys have not checked them out, they're here in the Pacific Northwest, but he is Canadian.
Yeah.
So.
And he loves Tim's Cascade Chips.
Yeah, so we're going to get him some.
Yeah, I'm going to get him all of them.
You like haunted history, folklore, crime? Dolls, maybe?
Is that up your alley?
Yeah. You love YouTube? Because he has a YouTube.
And if you're a videography snob like I am, this is the YouTube for you, okay? The way they shoot it is so pleasing to the eye.
Yeah, you'll appreciate it.
Yeah, you're going to binge all of them.
He puts out some great content.
Yeah, the boy's working hard, okay? Yeah. The whole crew, the whole Paranormal Road Trippers crew.
Yeah.
And like Shay said, we have some things in the works in the future. We're going to be collabing. It's going to be something you guys are all going to like.
Yes.
Because it's a, I don't know how to say it. It's a thing that you guys have all been very interested in from the beginning of the podcast.
Yes. And we can't say any more.
One thing about them, they're going to road trip.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing about me, I love Canadians.
Okay. So this is going to work out well.
Yeah. So we're very excited, and we're excited, and we love you.
Yeah.
And he's also the listener of the week.
Oh, okay? Well, if that ain't perfect,
yeah.
Then.
He's a big fan of Northwest, straight from the get-go.
Yeah, from the jump.
He's been an OG. We have actually, it's crazy, because we've been talking to him since we started this podcast.
And he's the one that got us on that radio show too.
Yes.
Like the dude
Space
is just
radio.
Looking out for us. And it was cool when we did that. I don't know if anyone watched it, but we did that Spaced Out Radio episode. And he was asking questions about like deep in the vault episodes that we had done. Like,
yes.
And not questions just like, oh, I read the title. Like, what's this about? He was asking things about like what we had talked about on their specifics about different investigations. So.
Oh, he's listened.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's a diehard, and he's a very, very nice guy.
Oh, very nice, super handsome. He looks like he smells really good.
Oh yeah, you which know I'm excited he does. About
because I'm a big hugger.
You know he does.
So he's gonna get hugged, with consent. I mean, and permission.
Always.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask permission before we.
Yeah.
I hug him, but, yeah.
So go check out their YouTube channel again, the Paranormal Road Trippers. They got Instagram. Go follow them. Go support everything that they're doing over there. They got some really, really neat stuff. So be sure to do all the things.
We love you, our sweet baby boy. I cannot wait to hold you.
And we know you're on YouTube. So just check them out.
Yeah.
Please.
Stop being weird. Go check out their YouTube.
And also, if you haven't linked up on any of ours, you can go check us out on Facebook, Instagram. Sometimes I post TikToks. Anything else here? Yeah, basically everything. We're not on Twitter, though. You can find us at the Pair Northwest. You can send us questions, comments, concerns, stories.
Yeah, send your stories in.
Yeah, we're ready for that. At pairnorthwestteam@gmail.com. Send it over.
All right. Getting back into the creepy and the cold. For the last one of tonight, we're going to talk about an Inuit myth. Is it a myth or is it true? It's probably true.
True.
Yeah. All right. So this next one is coming all the way from our cousins, the Inuits. So this one is called the Ijirak. And it's said to be the spirit of someone who wandered too far into the cold north and frozen wastes and got caught between life and death. Some say it is a shapeshifter that can take any form, though it can never disguise its blood-red eyes.
Ooh.
In its true form, it has the appearance of a person, perhaps with a normal appearance, or perhaps as a dark shadow, with sideways eyes and a sideways mouth. It is said that you can only see them in their true form out of the corner of your eye, and if you look at them full on, they disappear. They are said to target travelers and will bring a disorienting effect on them that could lead them far astray, even when their destination was just in their sight, trying to keep them living from entering their territory. Sometimes, however, they might try to drag the living into their realm of an undead. Many experience memory loss after meeting one and only know of the encounter because they find themselves wandering where they weren't supposed to. So, you know, this is like that feeling when you see something out of the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
And you can make it out, and then you go to look, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an Ijirak.
Ugh. That
I mean,
makes me think that they're, like, always there.
That's the thing. Yeah, exactly, because everyone's had that feeling in their
Absolutely.
Lives where they're like, there was just something right there, and you go to look, and it's gone. Also, the sideways mouth and the sideways eyes, so the slits are going, like, the opposite way. That's absolutely terrifying.
That is very terrifying.
And they can shapeshift, but they keep their blood red eyes. So they can look like whatever, but when you look in their eyes, if they're blood red, that's how you know you're looking at one.
God, I wonder if they blink, you know? Like a, you know what I mean?
Like they just keep like their close. Eyes open the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, when their eyes are sideways, like if they blink sideways?
Vertically, yeah.
Yeah, that is terrible.
That's scary. A lot of shape-shifting within the indigenous paranormal.
Yeah, this one is... I don't know, because it this one's the first one to deal with, like, shadow, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that they can take that form as well, like become a shadow.
Yeah, so it's dual. It's a cryptid and a spirit.
I know.
That's odd.
Yeah, so it's a spirit that can take a physical form.
Yes. I don't like that.
Or a cryptid that can take a spiritual form.
Yeah.
This seems like it's way harder to get away from or deal with, basically.
Yeah, you ain't getting away from that guy.
Yeah, so you think this one was caught in between life and death out in the cold? It seems like there's almost like these people, when they become these things, it's all out of like being right at the brink of death.
Yeah, and they're always caught in the cold.
Yeah, but it's like they're like death inhabits their being at that moment.
Right.
And death is the only thing keeping them alive. Oh, damn, that was deeper than I thought it was going to come out.
That was very good.
But you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, death is the life force that keeps this vessel moving and changes the trajectory as to how it was going to live its life.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
Fuck, I just figured it out.
And I don't want to see one.
No?
I'm okay on that.
We got to make a road trip to, like, the Great White North.
Yeah, and get lost and then die.
Nah, dude, I'm going to become an Easy Rock.
Dude.
What? I'm not going to die?
Well, I guess then we all are.
Okay, well then we'll be three Easy Rocks doing a podcast. Shayla says no.
What if we already are?
Oh, man, I'm scared now. If you were, would you tell me?
No.
Damn.
Dude, me neither. I wouldn't tell either of you.
Fuck Alpha. You guys. So, is that, do you guys believe that? Then the, like, the death becoming, like, entering their body, and that's what keeping them alive?
Absolutely. Absolutely do believe that.
Do you think there's any way to, do you think there's a choice then? Do you think they choose to become one if they're like, all right, I'll be this if that keeps me alive? Or do you think it's just like, hey, you're already here, so I'm going to take your ass for what I want to do?
Yeah, I think it's like, you're already here and you're done.
You think that, like, that death spirit is just waiting out there in the tundra?
Could possibly be, and I don't want to find out.
And when someone's, like, on their last leg, they're like, all right.
I think the spirit of the cold just truly takes over them. They have no choice in that.
Yeah. I mean, because it's not like they're strong at that moment, you know? They're out of food, they're out of water, they're on their last breath, basically.
Well, yeah. The frostbite's going to get you. It's going to bite. It's going to bite hard.
Yeah, without permission, too.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
So, there's a lot that goes into this. The cold. I had no idea that there was this many.
Yeah, it was just an idea we had to talk about, you know, cold cryptids and cold stories and all that stuff. And they all tie in with each other, though. I mean, all across
cultures.
The world.
Yeah.
I mean, we went from Scotland area to Japan to, you know, Northeast U.S. and then to the Inuits. And they all share that same, like, almost desperation, you know?
You guys want to know a really, like, spine-chilling fact?
Yeah, tell me.
It's got its name from a fictional character in a children's book called Hide and Sneak.
Ew, what?
Yeah. And that's according to NASA, bud. NASA.
Well, why is NASA looking into this?
Looks like...
That's a question there.
Yeah. So, the Easy Rock is one of the five known members in the Inuit group of moons.
Oh, shit.
So, that could lead to other things, which...
Oh, we're getting into something here.
You know. When I heard the eyes, I was like, that's a little bit more futurist, a little bit more alien. You know what I mean? Because I think of their eyes, they're more slit.
Sure.
And you know what's really weird? You know how I always say when I'm doing the Gansfield, it's like some of these aliens have the, like, what do I call them? The sunglasses with the slits?
Yeah.
Like the Inuit people?
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah, I know. They wore those. That's where that came from.
That's kind of where I had my connection, but I was like, no, that's a really far reach.
No, dude. I mean, so NASA's looking into this. When you talk to aliens, they have Inuit sunglasses. We just learned about the Inuit people and the Easy Rock. This is kind of tying together, dude. This is kind of fucking wild.
Yeah, very weird.
It's interesting to me that NASA is looking into this, though.
They look into all sorts of things. You know, it's hard telling.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a more tradish way to say Inuit sunglasses, but I don't have any Inuit friends, so I don't know.
So, hey, if there's any Inuits listening, we want to be your friends.
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah.
And it's actually, so, I'll show you all the raw image, but it's showing Saturn's small moon, Easy Rock, and it's basically like a slitted moon.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Okay, so she's showing us a picture of the moon, and it looks like if your eyes were turned the other way and the slits were going up and down.
Yeah, very spooky.
Weird. But yeah, so the cold, I mean, plays into so many different cultures. Even, I mean, American culture, it's it's not always a good thing. It's mostly a bad thing. Like, there's been plenty of instances where people have been left out in the cold and died. And so, just like the sun brings life, you know, and like spring and summer is very full of life, like fall going into winter becomes very cold and desolate. And, you know, if you're like me, you get the depresso espressos. And I don't know, there's just something about the cold that is so synonymous with death. Because when a loved one passes away, they become cold to the touch because the life force of blood is no longer pumping through them.
Exactly.
Making them warm, you know?
Right.
So it's like the absence of warmth is cold and is death.
Yeah.
And that's how it's always been. I'm surprised we haven't talked about this more.
Well, yeah. So it's interesting that you say that. So like in our tribe, the Anishinaabe people, they believe that winter is a time of death. It's a time of mourning.
Yeah.
It's a time of rest. So we hibernate like bears should.
Yeah.
So you look inward for like reflection and, you know, you're trying to overcome all the things that you have went through the past year. So it's the darker season is more for like the feeling, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It's more of like a reflection inward.
Yeah.
Dealing with all of the, basically the terrible things that you've went through. Yeah.
My thought is though, I wonder if spirits are more active in the cold than they are in the warmth. You know what I mean? If we're going to say that cold is like death and warmth is like life. Because we just did a investigation. We went to Spirit Lake again this last weekend, and it was freezing fucking cold out there.
Right.
And we did get some very interesting evidence. So we'll be going back there again. I think that's going to be something for the summer. And we're going to be hitting a lot of more places back there. But the cold definitely sets a different tone. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like you're uncomfortable. You're out of your element. Like,
exactly.
I think there's got to be something with cold and spirits as well. See if they thrive in it or whatnot. That's just a thought on my end, though.
All right, I'm going to hit you with a little teaching, you guys.
Okay, we're going to end it with a teaching.
The Ojibwe Anishinaabe Mohan word of the day is winter.
Okay.
And you pronounce it Bibun.
Bibun.
Yeah. So, that's what I got.
Okay. We'll leave you with that, with the old baboon. Bibun.
Oh.
Oh. Hit you with one of those.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Stay warm. Stay away from death. We hope that you guys all have a very warm week ahead of you. I know this is coming out on November 30th, but just pretend like it's coming out on December 1st, because all of December we're doing specials on cold, on holiday things, Christmas things, everything that has to do with cold or Christmas. And this whole time of the season, we're doing specials each week on it. So
yeah, you always hear about the spooky stories of the wintry season, you know?
Yeah, and there's songs.
Yeah.
There's Christmas songs.
Yeah.
That talk about ghost stories. So we're going to get into them. Okay,
get everyone's in the spirit.
Everyone's been interested in why these songs talk about ghost stories at the fire around Christmas time.
Yeah, and like Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Without permission. Which is terrifying. Yeah.
In tonight's case, it was nipping and it was slapping, because that's what they're doing in Japan. We heard all about it. We told you all about it. Do you remember that tonight? There's a lot of that going on.
Okay. I'm your host, Eric.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Cheyenne. And don't forget, sleep with your eyes open.